This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself.
We are so excited to introduce our guest today, Candace Jalili. Candace is the senior sex and dating writer at Elite Daily. Her work can regularly be found in publications like Cosmopolitan, The Cut, and Time, and most recently, she's an author. Her debut book, Just Send the Text, can be found wherever books are sold. Candace, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my God, of course. This is like a dream come true. I listen, like I'm a fan.
Wait, well, this is very full circle because you and I have been chatting for probably 5 years now.
Mm-hmm. You're one of my favorite sources.
Like, we have been like randomly chatting for like different things. So like, have fun. We've never met each other in real life, but yeah, we have talked like on and off for 5 years. And like, so when you reached out to me that you had this book coming out, like, I was just so excited for you because you are someone who has put so much time, so much dedication into this field. And I think you're fabulous. I'm so happy you're here.
Much. I also think you're fabulous. And I feel like when we're talking about work things, I can't fangirl over you this much, but like, I was, first of all, a social media follower. Like, I think of the Westchester Therapy Group Instagram page as like my, like, if my therapist can't book an appointment, I'll just go there and be like, I can find like a quote.
It's here. So much percent. Right. So easy. It's like on-demand therapy.
Yeah, it really is. I've got all my friends following too.
God. So, okay. So now we have everyone out. Just Send the Text. I fucking love this. Tell us a little bit about the book. We got to talk about the Eunice. We got to talk about all this stuff, but give us a little intro.
So I really want to, I knew I wanted to write a book about dating. I've been writing about it forever. I just kind of wanted to find an angle that I actually cared about. And I realized that I felt like every book in the dating space was a different version of like, do this to trick someone into liking you, do that to trick someone into liking you. And meanwhile, I'm noticing this issue of like, people reach out to me with their dating questions all the time. And it's like, everybody, myself included, I'm not single anymore, but when I was single, was so anxious about their love lives. And I'm like seeing these two things happening at the same time. And I'm like, obviously people are getting anxious about their love lives when we're time and time again being told that we have to change ourselves to find love. Like, that's the only way to do it. Like, you have to like be the chill girl, be the cool girl, be whatever it is that you think you have to be.
Not like other girls.
Right, like I'm different.
I'm so different.
Yeah. And in the meanwhile, we're all doing the same thing. Yes.
It's exactly the same, and it's not real. But you're so right. There's like this like massive pressure that I should like, I've heard people, like some of the advice you've hear or read at some point, which is like, wait, specifically wait 3. I've heard people say, put a timer on your phone and wait 3 hours to respond to a text. That seems like a lot of work to me.
It's like more anxiety inducing. It's so stressful. Like, you would think in theory, maybe it's like, focus on yourself, like, but it's not that. It's way so that you can just sit there staring at the clock until it's socially acceptable for you to respond. Like, obviously, you're going to go a little crazy.
Also, and if someone is put off by the fact that you're texting back immediately, and that's a problem.
Problem. Yeah. Huge problem.
Because all I want to do is send 50 texts in a row.
Right. So and if you have a problem with that, then I have a problem with you.
Yeah, I'm not a good person. But it's very much tricking into, like, I like that you use this word because that is how it feels, right? Like we're playing this game no one knows the rules to. Let's trick each other into shit. And then guess what? You're going to be paying Jed and I a lot of money 3 years down the road when you married a fucking stranger.
And right. And you're like, oh, I can't feel, I don't feel like I can be myself in this relationship, right? Where you never get to the point where you're like, oh, I feel like I can be myself because there's a fear of losing the person then.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I think that's what makes it so, I mean, just when you're hooking up with someone, when you're casually seeing someone, you're so scared that the minute they know the real you, they're going to reject you. But then on the flip side, I talk about like when things end, then you, it's almost like a defense mechanism where you're like, well, they didn't really know the real me, so it's fine.
Yes, right? Which is such a great way to keep yourself safe. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to not feel, like, truly feel rejected. So, okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Eunice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, explain, because a lot of people have probably read the book. We are going to make sure it's all posted all over our social media for you guys to read it, but explain to us a little bit about the Eunice.
So the Eunice is, at first I was saying like when you go, because I feel like when you're talking with your friends or whatever, at least in my group of friends, I'd be like, I was so crazy. I did like the craziest thing. And I was like, I really didn't want to use that terminology in the book because it's not crazy. Like, you're normal.
Well, it's also just this, the word crazy has just been used for so long for men to put down women.
Yes.
Right.
And to gaslight women.
And to gaslight. That's exactly what it is. It's
huge.
You're so unstable. You're so,
like, God forbid you want connection with me. Right. Like, you must be crazy. You want to be connected to me. You want to have a long-term relationship.
You have a feeling. We've been like sleeping together for over a year and you've met my family and you kind of have a feeling for me.
You're right. Like, you're crazy. Right. Like, that is just so funny. So yeah, the fact that you came up with a name is so helpful. So tell us.
Like, it's just this kind of like alter ego that we have. And sometimes when you're like getting so caught up in trying to make the other person like you and you end up doing those weird things, you kind of turn into a Eunice. Like, we all have that kind of anxious part of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I called it turning into Eunice, or like going into Euniceville every once in a while.
And right, so you kind of lose yourself. You go into this place and you see this like ongoing thing, it sounds like, of like the ruminating thoughts of overthinking, of overdoing all this stuff.
Yeah, it's like, I have so many examples of it from real people in the book, but like, there was one girl who said that she recorded herself on a first date to see what she was doing wrong. Like, she recorded the whole day. And I don't judge her at all. I'm like, there's a point in my life where I'd have been like, that's a good idea.
Case study.
Like, that is like getting to the point of being a Eunice. Like, you're like just so in your head about what am I doing wrong? Like, how do I like up my game and make someone like me? That's when you're getting to the point of being a Eunice.
Well, and it's so logical and analytical, right? Like, I'm gonna act like it is. I was about to make a football reference, and then
wow,
like,
that's it. Wait, can you just try? Can you try anyway?
I was gonna say, like, right? It's like, oh, like, we gotta record the play so we can go over with the coach after.
No, that was good. I feel like that was a good reference.
Well, that's all I know about sports. There we go. But which is just dating. Dating is my sport. And so this thing where it's like, okay, like, it's such a logical, analytical side that I think we've tried to put dating into, but dating is emotions. Dating, right? Like, connection is so different than that, but we lose ourselves in our anxious selves.
I think being that anxious automatically will keep you from connecting with the person, right? Like, if you're so, because when you're anxious and you're thinking about what am I doing wrong, what could I change, you're so in your head, it's so hard to be present and actually feel connected to the person. And so it makes so much sense. And it's interesting because, you know, when you were, you know, I'm just thinking back, like when you were dating and if there was someone you really liked, right, you would automatically be anxious and you wouldn't be able to really act like yourself. But if you, you know, like were with people you didn't like, with guys you didn't like, girls you didn't like, and you were just friends with them and you could automatically be yourself, and then those people would like you or be attracted to you in some way because you felt like you could really be you. And so it's so funny because when we're not trying that hard, when we're just comfortable with who we are, we're so much better able to actually make that real connection.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with that. The book was actually originally supposed to be called Date Like He's Obsessed With You. That was the concept. Like, it was, where does that confidence go? You know, like, where does that person you are who's so authentic, who doesn't care, who would show up in like a messy bun and sweats, whatever, like, and the person still likes you, that person ends up really liking you. Where does that person go as soon as you catch feelings? And I really wanted to like hone in on that idea of like, the right person does like you that much. So there's no reason for you to not be like that with everybody you're dating.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So dating is inherently personal. We know this, right? We're putting ourselves out there to see if we're received by another person. So what are you, because you did this amazing research, right? Like, the coolest thing about the book is all the people in the book. And so what, you did all this research, you talked to all these people. What are your thoughts on learning how to take things less personal while dating?
I think that's the hardest thing, right? Like, that is the core of everything. Like, you're just like so scared that if someone rejects you, it's you, like there's something inherently wrong with you. So you can't let them see that. It goes back to that like defense mechanism that I was talking about earlier. Like, we like to be like, oh, well, I was just playing the game. I was doing this, I was doing that. They didn't really know me. But then you're left with regret. Like, you've protected your ego, but you're just stuck wondering what would have been. And I really think, like, if you look at it like a weeding out process, like, if they weren't able to really like you for who you are, good riddance. Like, now you're free to go find someone who does like you for who you really are.
Absolutely.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, the therapy group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
It's not personal. Like, it feels so personal, but like, one person's like, my fiance is like really great to me. Like, I think he's a great partner, but like, I don't think my best friend would find him to be like her dream man.
Right.
Like, it's
now, just, are they both listening to this episode and how do they feel about this?
They're both listening and agreeing. Like, sorry, Brian, I guess it's offensive to him. He's not everybody's dream girl. But like, I'm not everyone's dream girl. Like, you just have to think about, like, think of a date that you've been on. I know I've been on dates where it's like, there was nothing specifically wrong with the person. He just wasn't right for me.
Right. Right. And it's, I think that because we take that personal, we think, okay, I need to change something about myself. Right. So I'm not rejected again. And it's almost like protective in a lot of ways. But I always ask, I ask clients this too, when we think about rejection and talking about how it's not personal, is like, think about someone you've rejected, right? Like, think about someone you didn't connect with. Was there anything inherently wrong with them? Did they not deserve love in some way? Do you think that they're not going to be able to find connection somewhere else? Their answer is always no. Like, they do still deserve love. They will still find connection in that way. And so when we're taking it personally, to think about it in that way, like, just because this person I liked or I was into didn't feel connected to me, that hurts. I mean, to acknowledge the fact that that hurts is important, but also to say that does not mean there's something inherently wrong with me. It just, this sucks. Like, rejection is a shitty feeling.
Even, and not even in dating, right? Like, rejection sucks whether you're applying for jobs. Rejection sucks, like, you know, if, I don't know,
in any way,
you wanted for a fucking holiday or some shit, right? Like, rejection.
Or even if it's like a small, yeah, like a small, just rejection in conversation. Yes.
Yeah. That's the worst kind for me.
I know.
Is it? Okay, wait, tell us.
A rejection. I don't like those at all.
All right, so you talked to all these people. What was it like to do the process of, like, the research for this book?
That was so fun for me. Like, I really, really enjoyed that. I mean, I think there's, like, a line you have to draw, because you don't want to feel like you're, like, mining your friends' lives for information. And, like, they weren't all my friends. A lot of people were just, like, people who reached out on Instagram with their stories and who were so nice about sharing these things with me. But I kind of like to think of my job as, like, a cross between sociology and English. Like, I get to, like, study these social patterns. And I think that aspect of it is so fun for me. Like, I enjoy listening to different, I always say, like, I know I did a good article when, like, three or four of my friends ask if it was about them.
Like, it hit that close.
It hit right. It, like, hits them.
Yeah, oh, wow. Exactly. That's a really good way to think about it.
Like, I know it's going to do well because, like, clearly it's something that feels so personal for so many people. And this was that to, like, the extreme. I got to talk to, it was like 50 something woman who made it into the book, but there were so many more people that I just talked to about their stories and noticed these trends. And, like, I felt like it, like, highlighted the Eunice thing a lot more for me of, like, none of these people are crazy. There's nothing wrong with any of them. And yet, like, so many of us are convinced that, like, we're so weird, or, like, I'm doing something wrong. Like, something's wrong with me. I'm going to be single forever because I'm, like, this something. Like, they've all chosen something that's, like, wrong with them. There is nothing wrong with them.
Right. Well, we also took this opportunity to poll our followers a little bit. We were like, why don't we do some research and then we can bring it up. And so we asked our followers, if the initial stage of dating someone is inherently anxiety provoking, and 89% answered yes.
But who was the 11%?
I don't know.
It was a cucumber.
Avoidant attachments.
Avoidant
attachments.
They feel nothing anymore.
They don't feel anything. So when we asked them why, we're going to give you some of the most common answers. The level of vulnerability required, caring what others think, fear of rejection, the person you're pursuing has so many options, like dating apps, that's a good one. Previous negative experiences, fear of being alone forever, societal, familial pressures to meet the one. We've talked about that before and our feelings about that. Trust isn't yet established, scared you're not good enough or likable, expectations of what could be, culturally acceptable methods of miscommunication. Those were just a few. We got so many answers on this, by the way.
They're all so true. Like, you're saying each one of them, and I'm like, I have so many thoughts on each one because I think they're all so true. And so many people are having, like, a mixed cocktail of all of those things going on.
Right. And we've talked a lot about attachment on this show, and something something we continue to talk about because it just threads through a bunch of different things. But in at the beginning of any relationship, when you're first meeting someone, there is no possibility to have a secure attachment, right? And so when we don't have that secure base or secure attachment, we are automatically going to feel anxious about it.
Yeah, no, I actually had someone on a podcast I was on the other day asking why I think dating can be so anxiety-inducing. That's exactly what I was saying. It's uncertainty. Like, it is just a natural human reaction to feel anxious in this scenario where you like someone and you're just not sure where you stand with them. Like, any sort of uncertainty makes me stressed out, let alone, like, that high-stakes, vulnerable, like, in your emotions level uncertainty.
Okay, I have another question, because you talk to all these people, right? So it's so interesting here. I think some people, one of our therapists came in the other day and she picked up the book and she was reading it, just getting into, because now we got a million copies. We're so excited.
Thank you, by the way.
Thank you. And one of our clinicians picks it up and she goes, my issue was that I needed to stop fucking sending the text. My issue was that I needed to rein it the fuck in. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering your thoughts about that, because that's still anxiety.
Yeah, I think that is too. And I think, like, in the book, just send the text is a metaphor, right? Like, it's not just sending the text, it's doing what feels the most authentic to you and feels like the healthiest for you. And there's even a chapter where I talk about there's certain people that you just shouldn't send the text to. Like, that is do. Like, that is sending the text in that moment. Like, it's taking care of yourself, right? And I think, like, if you're sending a bunch of texts and that feels like you're putting yourself out there in this big way and that's important to you, that's one thing. But if you're doing it as almost like an anxious knee-jerk reaction because you're wanting to keep them and like that's your way of doing that, well, that's back to being a Eunice. Like, that's back to being in that like toxic place.
Right, because you're reacting out of anxiety instead of something that feels authentic. Like, oh, I really want to tell this person all of these things.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. When I would make up random things to just my now husband, I would just make up random things to text him so he'd text me back. Like,
I definitely have done that so many
yeah,
times.
Yeah, right? Like,
I think that's common.
Yeah, like, I was just making up shit. I was like, ha, ah, I just watched this thing. And it made me. I'm like, no, I didn't. Oh,
you just want some sort of conversation.
Yeah, it was
100%. I've done that so many times. I'll like make up a picture of something and be like, oh, well, I saw this and it made me think of you.
One time I was dating a guy. Oh God, this is bad. And he was very intelligent, like way smarter than me. And he was like, oh, like, what do you like to do in your free time? I'm like, read. I read a lot. I read all the time. Right now I'm reading this like big book. I wasn't.
It's really big.
It's huge. It's the encyclopedia. I read the encyclopedia cover to cover.
Yeah. Well, did he ask you for proof?
No, I was just like, no, I'm just this smart.
Follow up, like, what book?
Yeah. No, thank God. I don't know what I would say. I was obviously not reading any books at the time, but it's a perfect example of like things you make up in order to be accepted. And in the end, it wasn't a good match, right? Like, I wasn't going to read as many books as he was reading. There was no chance.
Was he even reading books, or did you assume?
No, he was going to Harvard.
Oh.
I know.
But his parents get him in.
I don't think so. That's what's scary.
Oh, wow.
I know.
So we actually got it a merit loan. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wouldn't you pretend like you read a lot of books?
I would.
Yeah.
I would feel really intimidated.
Yeah.
I would pretend that I would probably, if I was going to make up a lie, just to like show everyone like where I was at in my early 20s, I'd be like, oh, I do crew. Like, I would make up something real.
Crew.
I like, you know, I'm going to wear a polo. I don't know. I would have done something.
Do you remember the double polo popped collar?
Of course I do, because I wore a lime green and a hot pink one. And
yes.
I popped the watermelon double popped Lacoste polo.
The watermelon was a huge look.
Huge. You had to like get starch on those collars in order to get them to stick up straight.
I think, well, it's like, it's funny because we're sitting here having these conversations and like we're talking also is like sometimes what goes into like deep shame, like the people we have been and the things we have done in our life. But like, we're not these bad people. Like, we truly just want connection.
You want to be accepted.
Like, when you're doing that stuff, it's truly just because you do want connection. And I think that's this other thing, that it has become so embarrassing to admit that you want a relationship.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because we, like, think, like, oh, like, well, you're needy or desperate, or just, like, be happy being alone. Or, like, this is my, the worst thing. The worst thing I think you can say to someone is, well, no one will ever love you until you love yourself. Who made that up? Where did that come from? And so, like the reality is, like, you are, it's totally normal to want to be with another human.
Yeah, 100%. It's just, like, you want companionship. Like, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
No, right? And so, like, you're saying is, like, how do you, so, like, what do you think? Because, like, I think everyone needs to read this book, first of all. If you are dating, you have to read this book. But what do you think, like, when you become this, when you're trying to have this authentic, genuine part of yourself, how do you suggest people do that?
I think it's hard. Like, I think that's the first thing you have to accept. Like, it's not easy. Like, for me, I really, like, had to force myself to switch into being like that, and it did not come naturally, like, at all.
Well, don't you feel like lying comes easier sometimes than telling
so
the truth?
It's so much easier. It's so much easier to, like, put up this front and pretend like you don't care and have your guards up and just pretend like, oh, like, I'm too cool.
I'm cool, I don't care.
And, like, then you're like, I'm saving face. Like, I don't have to embarrass, I don't have to add insult to injury, you know? Like, when this inevitably ends, because I do think also so many people are dating under the just, like, assumption that it's going to end because everything before this, whatever it is, situationship, let's call it.
Yes.
Everything before this ended. So why would this be any different? Like, I think I was like that a lot. And a lot of the girls I talked to for the book were like that. And, like, why would they not think that way? Like,
of course.
Serious. So I have a question. What are your thoughts about, like, app-based dating? Because a lot of the questions we get is, like, how do I be authentic in these profiles? A lot of people are struggling with what to write, of how to feel natural, because it feels like, you know, if you're on something, I feel like, you know, Hinge has more information, but, you know, we're looking at, like, this, like, minor thing. So people are like, I either have to put the best goddamn pictures I could ever imagine up,
It's a hire a writer.
Like, so, like, what are your thoughts about, like, how do you do that? Because you're really good about having your authentic voice in writing. What would you have some tips for other people?
I think, I mean, just, like, a writing tip in general, that it was one of my old editors gave this to me. I think it's the best advice. Write like you would talk. Like, if it's not something you would say out loud, don't have that on your profile.
Mm.
You know? Like, that's what makes you sound authentic in writing in general. Mm. But as far as just, like, I think the best thing to do is try to meet in person as soon as possible. I mean, now it's hard because we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Right. Challenging.
Any sort of, like, real conversation, because the texting, like, is kind of hard. Like, there, you can only be so much yourself in that. Like, before it either goes into that, like, joke town of, like, you're, like, ping pongy, like, joking with each other, and it's not really real. Like, you're not like a surface level conversation, and a real date never comes of it,
right?
Or it's just, like, the awkward, like, how was your day, because some people just might not be natural, like, texters or writers or things like that. Like, there's so much more you can learn from a person in a real conversation in real time.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that
that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Well, and also it brings up as part of right now dating during the pandemic, which is like a lot of us don't have shit to say.
Right.
Right. So you're like, how was your day? And it's like, well, I went from the living room to the kitchen.
Right. And like when people are saying, what's new? And you're like, literally nothing. Actually, nothing is new.
I've had a lot of clients be like, I feel like I'm so boring right now. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to say. Like, I don't know what to say in these conversations. Like, they feel very anxiety producing as it is. And then it feels like I truly have nothing to report because there's nothing going on in my life.
What are your thoughts about like saying this out loud to people, right? Like when you are dating, to be like, hey, I feel like I'm really boring right now because I'm like, not a lot's going on. So I don't, you know, that's a level of authenticity.
I love that. I think that would be so authentic. And also odds are the person you're talking to feels the same way.
100%.
Do that right now. And like, that could be something you literally bond over. Like we both feel so boring right now. Like I've been doing nothing. What has your doing nothing looked like? This is what I'm
I love that. What's your doing nothing look like?
Ooh, that's good. And also, like, I think too, when we're in our heads or we're anxious about dating or connecting, that we do forget that the other person is probably feeling very similarly.
Why wouldn't they be?
I talk about that big time in the book, but like, we put these people on a pedestal as if they're this like amazing human who has no issues, and like we're this like weird freak, like a Eunice trying to get their attention, like that. It's a person. Like, it's just another human being.
Right.
They're going through the same things. They're probably going to be really excited to hear from you 9 times out of 10.
Well, and also let your freak flag fly.
Beautiful.
Go be that freak, right? Like, fucking go on with your bad self and do that. Okay, wait. There's something else you really talked about in the book, which I want to get to, which is you talked a lot about feeling your feelings regarding breakup and rejection. Yeah. And, you know, as therapists, we love a feeling.
We love feeling your feelings.
So... Talk to us about like the Eunice versus the you in this situation.
Yeah. So I think like a very Eunice response is, and I mean, I want to be clear. I say this as someone who's like done this. I'm not shaming anyone who's done this, but like, especially I think casual relationships have become so much more common. Like I went on Girls Gotta Eat and talked about entering my first relationship at 23. And I got so many messages from girls being like, I thought I was the only one who's never been in a serious relationship. I felt like I was so weird. It's like, no, it's so normal now because like just the script for dating has changed so much. Mm. But I think with that comes, like, you have these weird situations where it doesn't feel like it was a real relationship. It feels more like, oh, it was casual. You've been, like, telling yourself it was casual for so long, but then it ends and it hurts. Like, you could have spent a significant amount of time with that person and you want to pretend like it doesn't hurt. Like, a Eunice would pretend like it doesn't hurt because you're like, well, I can't be, like, crazy. Like, it didn't mean anything. Like, it was casual. I can't be upset by this. Like, I have no right to be complaining about this to my friends. It wasn't a real breakup. Like, I don't deserve to have real feelings about it. Mm. That's not fair. Like, I'm a huge proponent of, if you're hurt like it was a real breakup, mourn it like it was a real breakup.
Absolutely. Which makes so much sense. And I think that's part of the way in which, you know, women are sometimes gaslighted is, oh, well, we weren't in a relationship anyway. Like, why should this be something you're upset about? Or they gaslight themselves. And I think that too, some of the pain that we feel from rejection or breakups is really hard. Like, it's hard to process. And so I think the way in which we try to deal with that sometimes that ends up hurting us is we blame ourselves, where we're like, okay, well, what can I change? What can I do differently? What did I do wrong? Because that's what we have control over, right? So, like, if I blame myself, then maybe I can take control over the situation. When in reality, like, you're just treating yourself like shit and you're making the breakup even harder.
Totally. Like, you're like, what did I do? What was it about me that was so, like, undateable? Like, right. Why am I not girlfriend material? Like, what do I need to change next time? And it's just like that you're it's adding insult to injury. It's being so upset. And then on top of that, being like, no, I deserve to be so upset because I'm such a shitty, undateable person.
Right. Right. And I'm just going to keep blaming myself, because then maybe I think the thing that ends up happening is, like, we think if we blame ourselves, we'll be able to take ourselves out of this rejection or, like, out of this pain, or we can protect ourselves, which doesn't end up happening. Well, so that can happen again.
Well, closeness, I think also is, like, then are you looking at, like, confirmation bias, where then are you selecting people who are already giving you red flags you're ignoring because you're making a confirmation bias that you're not worthy of love.
Oof.
Right? Like, people can sometimes show you early on that they're fucking assholes. And as someone who's done the legwork, literally and figuratively, a lot of people, you just are like, oh, what do you mean? He's so funny. You're like, no, he's an asshole.
Right, like, he's a jerk.
Yeah, he's, like, being, like, genuinely rude to you. And, like, in college, I was like, oh, but, like, isn't that adorable?
Isn't he cute how he doesn't text me?
Like, isn't that cute that he ignores me in front of his friends? And I was like, yeah.
No, he's just, like, so sarcastic. Yes. Our banter.
Right. Like, our banter. We're just mean to each other. It's fine.
Well, it goes to this thing that we talk about often, which is, like, is stability sexy?
Mm.
Right? Like, is a healthy person, what's happening that we often reject healthy people?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think even when I, speaking of therapy, when I first entered my current relationship, which was my first real relationship, I had to spend so much time with my therapist just talking about how, like, this feels so different from what I'm used to equating in my head with love, or I don't think I really ever loved any of those, but I thought I did sometimes in, like, love or strong like or whatever, because it was such a high. Like, there was this, like, high highs, low lows, like, so anxious, like, when you didn't hear from them by, like, whatever time, or, like, crying in a bathroom stall to your friends, like, all of these, like, intense feelings, like feeling like you could, like, do cartwheels across the room just because they texted you, or, like,
one time you. The bare minimum. Like, the bare minimum was like, yes,
the bare minimum. I remember there was one guy that I was seeing who I liked so much, and I had to end it. Like, I should have ended it. If I look back on it, like, that's when I should have ended it, but he basically told me it wasn't gonna go anywhere, and I was like, okay. I tried to end it then, but I was like, I just liked him too much. I was such a youth about it at the time. Like, I just was like, I can't. And so there's an example of a time when you're a Eunice and maybe, like, not sending the texts about it.
Right.
And we did, like, a compromise of, like, we'd wait a week and then I'd let him know what I was thinking. Like, after a week, we'd take space and then I'd let him know. And I remember my dad was in town and I was, like, a wreck over this the whole time. And he finally texted me, like, halfway through the week, like, earlier than expected, and said, hey, he didn't live in New York. He was like, hey, by the way, that trip I was planning actually isn't going to happen anymore. FYI, I think that's all the text. I was like, he loves me. Oh my God, he texted. And I remember reading it to my dad, and my dad being like, what?
Oh my God, he loves me.
This is your proclamation of love? Kind of knowing that it wasn't, like, I wanted to like almost lie to my dad, but like the text was right there, like I couldn't. I mean, you know, there's more coming or something.
I'm crying.
I'm crying because I have a funny story too. Okay, so freshman year of college, I was like obsessed with this older guy. He was like 3 years older, and I just thought this guy was a fucking asshole, by the way. But I was like, this is the bee's knees. This is the love of my life. He's so amazing. He would ignore me anytime I saw him out and just text me later.
Yeah, you guys were in love.
I was like, yeah, we're in love. This is crazy. And there was a time that I was like, all right, I'm like not gonna text him first, and I'm gonna ignore him when I walk into the frat party.
Good job. Good job. How did that go?
He texts me at like 3 a.m. like, you up? And I was like, see, like, he loves me.
Got him.
Oh, he's so into me.
And honestly, like, and now we're married.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. They're together.
Probably never talk to me again.
Every great love story.
Right. And obviously it didn't go anywhere. The guy never talked to me again because he had genuinely no interest, and he made it very clear. But I was going to find some reason of why he was the one for me. He was not.
And but it makes so much sense. Like, those are the ways you try to control situations that are out of your control, right? Like, I'm going to ignore him when I go into the party because I know that is going to control whether he likes me or not.
Yeah, I'll trick him into liking
me. I'm going to trick him.
I walk past him all confident.
But it's interesting. I really like the thing you said, Candace, about how, like, it's confusing when you get into a stable relationship after being in such instability and being like, oh, this is love. Like, when someone's not texting me and I'm like freaking out about it, I must be in love with them.
Yeah,
because it very much like mimics almost like an addiction cycle, right? Like, when you're getting the text or you're with them, like, you're getting this high, yes. And then they're not talking to you because they're a dick and they're not interested. I know. And they're ignoring it.
Often they're being very honest, and then still we're like, no.
They're in love with me. No, because I think that, and if you think it just about media in general, or like movies that we see, that like, movies aren't going to be exciting unless there's this huge like up and down, right? Like, if you're getting a movie about a stable relationship, like, that movie's going to be like pretty boring. And so we like are inundated with these messages about like, this is what love is, and it's going to be this up and down, and there's drama, right? And so
big fight, this grand gesture, like, there's going to be all of these things. That real love really isn't that. Like, real love is more just like warm, authentic, real. Like, someone that you feel like you can really be yourself with, and they really love that, and you can do the same for them. Like, you can let them show up exactly as they are.
Right. Like, there's like safety in it.
Yeah, it's safe. Like, that's not a sexy word to you.
It's not. Yeah. But it's right. So this idea of like stability and safety isn't sexy. And so this idea also then doesn't feel that sexy to be authentic and real in these text messages, right? It feels a lot sexier to play the game and do the other things and whatever. I think you have to think about what you're looking for. Are you looking for passion, or are you looking for a long-term relationship? Because it's going to give you different results.
Yeah, 100%.
We could talk to you all day.
Constantly. But it's a good segue because we did some more research. Because apparently we do research these days. Yeah. and so we were mentioning authenticity. So we asked our followers why it's hard to be authentic when dating. And the most common answers were, you don't want to come on too strong. Vulnerability is hard. Fear of being judged or deemed unworthy. Fear of disapproval or dislike. We're all afraid of rejection, even if we don't end up liking the other person. Not knowing ourselves, because we don't love everything about ourselves, so we assume they won't either. That's kind of the thing of, you have to love yourself first, the one we're pushing back against. Too much value placed on having a partner, right? That makes sense. Past experiences, I've been myself and it hasn't worked out, and don't want to get hurt. So a lot of these are protective, right? Like, there's a lot of like, I need to protect myself because it is really, and let's just validate this, dating is really terrifying and can be really, really scary. Like to put yourself, to actively put yourself in a situation where there is the possibility of you being rejected, like that is scary.
Well, and there's actual, we have to remember there's actual chemical parts of this, right? So our oxytocin is released from the uterus up to your amygdala. And this is so wild, but like if that oxytocin isn't, and like the most interesting thing is we talk about oxytocin so much as like the sex hormone, but really most people release oxytocin when they're like hugging a loved one, right? So like kids release the highest amount of oxytocin when they're hugging their parents. And so when that oxytocin is going, it relaxes that amygdala. And if we don't have enough of it, we don't have enough of that safety, if we don't have enough of that security, that amygdala is going to turn into a lighthouse and it's going to look for any potential sign of danger to ruminate on. So it's like literally a chemical thing that's happening that makes you feel out of control. Once again, blame your hormones.
It's a favorite activity.
It's my hormones' fault.
It's my hormones. It's fine.
No,
It's scary. So I think that just like validating the fact that it's scary and it is chemical, like the way that our body releases these chemicals, it can just be really, really terrifying in those moments because we don't have that level of attachment. We don't have that safety.
Candace, have you applied these principles to your own relationship? Yes. Let's talk about you.
Let's talk about me.
Okay.
I have, and like I said, it was not easy. Like it does not come out natural. I mean, at this point, I think I have a better relationship for it. Like, I'm not like really feeling like super anxious in my relationship 4.5 years into it. But like at the beginning, I tried really hard to do it differently. Like I wanted it to be more authentic. I wanted to stop. I just was so sick of that feeling of regret. Like I felt like I looked back on every other person. I mean, this was like slightly before him. I think I like dated a few people who I tried to do this with and it didn't like pan out great in terms of like ending up together, but I don't regret it as much. I don't have that feeling of like, oh, like what if I had done things differently? What if they knew the real me? Like I just was so sick of feeling like that. So I kind of just forced myself to be more me. Like it was like, I be more vulnerable, even when it didn't feel like natural to me at all. I talk about this in the book, but like when we're engaged, my fiance and I were first hooking up, I saw that he still had Bumble on his phone and like we weren't exclusive or anything. So he was allowed technically. Also, I want to be clear, I was not looking through his phone. He was just on his phone and Bumble.
He would support you even if you weren't. This is no shame episode.
That's so nice.
It's a no shame podcast.
No shame. I love that, but I'm just like, I didn't make that clear in the book and I just want to put it out.
We'll make a PSA when we post it.
Yeah, I wasn't going through his phone. But anyway, he was showing me something. I saw that Bumble was on there and lost it. Like we were saying, like real love feels very comfortable and easy. And like the whole beginning of our relationship felt so just like different from my norm of like, it was so easy. Like I had those moments where like, I'd be like, oh my God, it's 2 p.m. and I haven't heard from him. And then he'd just like call me like to just chat. Like it was just these things that felt so like, oh, this doesn't need to be like so like scary. But then I saw Bumble and it like threw me right back at square one. I went full Eunice, so scared. And my normal reaction to that would have been to just swallow it and not say anything and like freak out about that to my friends privately for a long time and then probably be so weird around him that it fizzled out. But I was like, no, I'm gonna try to like do this differently and actually say something. And I remember I was going to Italy the next day for a week. And the next morning I was like, okay, I'm gonna say it before I go. Well, at first I was gonna say it the night before I left, but then I ended up drinking too much. And I was like, I don't wanna do it drunk. That would be something the old me did.
Good advice.
So I was like, okay, I'll do it in the morning. And I wake up in the morning and I'm like, gearing up to say something and I just was like, oh my God, I have to throw up. So I threw up instead of saying anything.
Which is what happens when you stuff down feelings, everyone. You will
exactly pee. Like literally it was making me, I mean, I'm a thrower upper when I'm anxious. Like that's just how my body reacts. But I just, it could have also been my hangover from drinking the night before.
Right, right.
The combination was really not great. So I threw up, went to Italy with my friends, was spiraling about it pretty much the whole trip, came back, and finally was like, I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to try again, which is just, I can't emphasize enough how difficult that was for me. Like, that was not normal for me. Like, I'm just in life not a super confrontational person, let alone in relationships at that point. But I did it. I brought it up. And he was so nice about it. And so just like, oh, yeah, like, I just had it on my phone. I'll delete it right now. I thought we were exclusive. And I was like, oh, did you?
You're like, wow, really wish I could go back to a week ago and enjoy my time in Italy.
Yeah, literally, like, just think about that, like, the energy and, like, the throw up and all of that that I could have saved.
Yes.
Said something. And, like, it just made me think of, like, every other person I dated when I didn't say those things and I did freak out so much. It would have been so much easier if I just said something. And, like, even if he had said, hey, yeah, sorry, like, I still want to be on this. I didn't know that you were thinking, like, yeah, that would have, like, hurt, but it wouldn't have been that anxiety, like, that.
Right, it still gives you information.
Mm-hmm. All right, kids.
Because he handled it so well, like, I feel like it made me more comfortable to bring things up in a relationship moving forward. And now I'm like, maybe I'm too comfortable.
Absolutely. No, I bring things up all the time. No, it created a level of safety in your relationship to go through that, to feel the anxiety, to express it to him and have him respond to you by, like, really holding that space and saying, like, oh yeah, completely. Like, I'm going to give you the space to be able to say what you're feeling and what you're going through. And so it's, and that's something you kind of have to go through at the beginning of relationships, is like figuring out if it's safe to bring those things up. And it sounds like he responded to you in a way that was very, like, really, really helpful for you.
I'm like validating, right? Like we were saying, like, there are so many guys who would just make you feel crazy.
Yep.
And like, well, gaslight you and be like, well, why were you looking at my phone, or why, what do you care? Like, this isn't a thing. Like, I just did a poll on my Instagram of, it's another project I'm working on like no label type relationships. And I asked people what's the most, like, stressful part of them. And so many people responded that, in quotes, this isn't a thing. And I was like, getting hit with that, it's just like, oh, well, I guess I don't matter.
Right.
I know I've talked about this before on another episode today, but the moment I knew that I wanted to marry my husband was when I was being real unhinged, really some next level shit I was pulling out, a lot of drunk calling, a lot of, I was really going next level. And he called me so calmly the next day and was like, listen, you are being way too much and I really like you, but like, if this continues, I'm out. And like, right, like, at the time, I'm very healthy. No, he's much better attachment than I do. He like so healthy, is so reasonable. And like, at first I was like, oh my god, like, fuck him, this is what he's saying. And then I was like, oh wait, no, straight up, like, I need to hear that. Like, I needed somebody to put a boundary down. And I had a choice in that moment, which is to react and totally spiral from that, or to actually hear someone, to not take it personal, and to say, like, all right, like, they're setting a boundary, I can respect it or I can't. Mm-hmm. And I think that that matters. And we can do that as women as well, to say, like, hey, like, this actually doesn't work for me. Right, like, the not label doesn't work for me, if they're not anything, or they're having the bum on the phone, any of those things, you're also allowed to say that too. You don't just have to ask the other person. So I love this idea about, like, the only way to do that is to simply do it, is to actually have a conversation and talk about it.
And you clearly cared about him enough to really work through that for yourself. And
sure, I'm sure that was a 48-hour spiral.
Oh, totally, but that's okay. You still cared, because you could have very easily just been like, oh, well, screw you, you know, like, I'm, but clearly you cared about him enough to say, okay, I respect this boundary because I care about this person. And so I think on the flip side of it, if you're setting a boundary with someone else and saying, listen, this doesn't work for me, if they care about you and if they're invested in the relationship, it's going to be a signal where they're like, okay, I can respect that. And here, you know, here's how we can communicate through that.
I mean, I think I, at the time, thinking back to this, I thought what I was doing was cute. Like,
I'm curious as to what you were doing.
Like, calling a lot and getting wasted and like being impulsive.
Oh, that's cute. I think that's cute.
It wasn't cute. It wasn't a good look.
I see, like, when I think about myself in college, like, I understand the thought process of thinking it was cute.
Yeah. I thought it was cute. Like, I don't know. And I think because so everything else was so unhealthy and that's what I was judging it by, I was like, oh, like.
That's like, it's like your romance in college is getting drunk and drunk dialing people, right?
It really is what, like, courtship is in college.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our first date was he asked me to pregame. So that.
That's romantic.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Like I said, we could literally talk to you all day. Candace, what is the number one thing you want people to know from your book? What's your takeaway?
My main takeaway is just be yourself. The right person will be into it. That's it.
Beautiful.
Fuck yeah.
Beautiful.
All right. Just send the text out. Anywhere can find it. How can people connect with you? Give us your info.
You can follow me on Instagram at Candace Jalili, J-A-L-I-L-I. I know that trips people up. and buy my book. That's the best way to do it.
There you go.
Buy the book and leave an Amazon review.
A good one.
It's mostly
Arthur's.
Friends, my mom, her friends right now.
Perfect.
You can hang out with Candace's mom on Amazon reviews. You review it. Yeah. Thank you for being
Thank you so much. You're incredible.
So dream come true moment.
Hey guys, I'm Alana Dunn and I'm the host of Seeing Other People. As an early Hinge employee, a modern dater, and now a fiance, I know the dating world maybe a little too intimately. I'm here to make you feel less alone in your dating journey, whatever it may look like. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Whether you're looking for love or just want to laugh and commiserate with others, tune in to Seeing Other People as we explore the roller coaster that is the ever-evolving world of dating.